Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Michael O'Brien, who's an iconographer, painter, and writer, and is the popular author of many best-selling novels, including Father Elijah, Eclipse of the Sun, Sophia House, Theophilus, and Island of the World. With Michael O'Brien, we go inside the pages of The Father's Tale, published by Ignatius Press. Michael, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today, Chris.
The Father's Tale. Oh, my goodness. It is so beautiful that you just don't want the tale to end. What was it like writing it?
Well, as with all my novels, I'm praying as I write every day for the work itself. There's a particular grace for each work, and personally, on a human natural level, I find myself living inside the story even as I'm writing it. So it was a thrill and adventure. I had a general sense of where the story would go and who the characters were, but never really realized how it would turn out until it was finally written.
It really is a combination of the prodigal son story, but also that good shepherd who just is going out and seeking. And yet what he finds, the character Alex, what he finds is something really beyond comprehension, isn't it?
Yes. The story was, in part, one of the purposes of this novel is to explore the mysterious ways that God, through divine providence, through trials, through blessings of many kinds, through consolations and desolations, he's shaping us. He's always calling us to grow, to expand our hearts. And of course, the central character in this story has protected himself from that. He's lived an insulated life, a fairly quiet life in a small town in North America. And he's suddenly called out of that world. His love for his missing son shatters all his securities, and one by one, all his strengths are going to be taken away. So throughout the very long journey of the story, Alex, from time to time, wonders, where is God? Everything's going wrong. Why are so many bad things happening? He clings to his faith like a little thread, but everything inside of him is put to the test. I don't want to give away the ending, but let's say that God, in his mysterious ways, is absolutely reliable. He's our Father.
Well, amen to that. I have to think, Michael, in reading your work, and I've said this before, it is a great icon of words. There's something about how you use words. I mean, it is such a palette of colors that you give for us. And when you combine that with that prayer, this story becomes one that is really born out of that contemplation.
Well, thank you. I think a couple of background thoughts are pertinent to what you've just said. First of all, I am a painter. I am a religious artist primarily. Only a late-blooming novelist in the last 20 years, but for most of my life I've been dedicated to sacred art, religious art for churches, communities, and for about 7 of those years I did paint pretty much exclusively Byzantine icons in the early years. So they taught me a lot. One of the main lessons they showed me was that in the creation of Christian culture, God desires, the Holy Spirit desires to pour out a powerful grace that works with our nature, our natural talents. But we have to be praying. And I gradually learned that there's two components to a Christian work of culture that is going to give life to others. The first is the artist has to be developing his natural talents all the time. That never ceases. Mm-hmm. Second, he has to be praying and sometimes fasting, that, the word, the unseen word that God desires to speak through the Christian community and through its artists, through each of our lives, really, is clearer when we are in grace, when we are praying constantly. And that is what makes the fruit.
Beautiful. We're talking to Michael O'Brien about his latest novel, The Father's Tale. It is absolutely stunning. You know, as I entered it, as I prayed with it, which you can't help but do with your books, Michael. I mean, it becomes more than just reading as an entertainment fair. It becomes something of contemplation. It takes us on this journey in this story. It really lifts up, for me as a female reading this, it spoke of that struggle in male spirituality today, of what, you know, when you look at what men are going through in what the culture, what their expectations are, and the relationship with their own sons because of that assault on the male identity.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's pretty much, am I articulating this properly? I mean, is that what Alex's struggle is?
Well, I think you're articulating it very well. Yes. Pope Benedict, actually when he was then Cardinal Ratzinger, gave a talk in Palermo, Sicily in the year 2000, which I read often, reread often. It was on Christian fatherhood. In fact, the essence of fatherhood itself in the modern age. And in his talk, he said that probably most, if not all, of the major problems of the modern age have their root in the loss of the sense of spiritual fatherhood. Now, that's a mysterious phrase. What did he mean? I believe he meant that we are created in the image and likeness of God, our Father. And when we allow our natural, anointed, sacramental fatherhood to be perfected and purified, and Christ is living within us as husbands and fathers, or any kind of fatherhood, even the ministerial priesthood, bishops, all are called to be true spiritual fathers after the heart of God the Father. And the Pope was really saying that this colossal failure in Christian civilization is at the root of many, many of our problems, psychological, social, the family is in crisis. And of course, the nations of the West are more and more in crisis because we're not patterning ourselves on a holy, gentle, but firm authority that's based in divine principles, God's principles for mankind. Mm-hmm. So a father of a family needs to live those. Heads of state need to live those. Those in ministry need to live those principles. So the Holy Father is really pointing to where we need to rediscover one of the most crucial graces given to the human race, that is fatherhood, especially holy fatherhood.
And that's something that, you know, we really need to focus in on as women. I'll speak as the other half of this great gift of
yes.
self here, and that's as a female, that there has been a lot of emphasis on us over the last 40 years and our identity, and it's gotten very, very, very confused. But in all of that struggle on the female end, the male identity has really suffered a corruption.
Yes, I agree very much so. Young men are uncertain about their identity. I mean, even when there's not a problem of sexual identity, there's still a problem of what is a man? Why is that distinct from being a woman? What is the essential gift that a man brings to the whole human community, male and female? Why can a woman not give to others what a man can give? And vice versa, of course. Men cannot give what women give in terms of heart and soul and, you know, leaving aside the whole question of giving life itself. So who am I? What am I for? Why am I unique, not only as a person, but as a gender? And how can I find it? Mm-hmm. Now, I think the collapse of family life in late Western civilization has contributed to the grave weakening, not only of sexual identity, but roles, how we live out sexual identity. Young men, a large majority of young men, are very afraid of commitment. They don't know how they can marry and raise a family and support that family in a double income, almost no child economy, you know, unless they're that very small portion of society that is highly paid professional.
Mm-hmm.
How can they remain open to life? How can they live the fullness of the life of Christ, the fullness of the teachings of the church, according to God's design for us? They've come more and more to say, it's easier to be alone. It's easier, well, if I put it this way, not to grow up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have the phenomenon of 30-year-old adolescents still pursuing fun and really not going deep into the mysterious deep waters of love, what love is, what giving life to others really means, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we find that? Well, part of it is we need to ask God for the restoration, the particular grace of restoring men to what we should be. We also need good role models, good fathers. I'm going on and on here, but
mm-hmm.
it's very close to my heart, and it's in all of my novels. Where do we become true men? Men of courage, men of love. I think we have to go to God our Father and earnestly and daily asking Him for those graces. For myself, St. Joseph has been a powerful role model. I'm dedicated to him. I love him. He's my foster father. And in times of trial, I always go to him.
Mm.
I think we can all do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the Blessed Mother even turned to Joseph on many occasions in those moments for support and strength. And Michael, I just have to tell you again that the book is The Father's Tale, a novel, and for many people who are familiar with Michael O'Brien's book, this is a great cheer, and probably, I have to say, it's probably one of the best novels I've ever read. I mean, it is right up there with Tolkien, which the Lord of the Rings is no doubt one of my favorites. And this one, it has so much adventure. I don't want anybody, you know, in the deeper discussion that we're having right now, that's kind of the current that's carrying the novel. But on the surface of this great ocean of this work, there's all this activity. I mean, there's espionage, there's intrigue, there's running here and there. I mean, it keeps you going, and it works on so many levels. It's like an icon where it's just painted layer on top of layer on top of layer. It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. I think those who do read the book someday will see that it's essentially a journey. I mean, of course, as you're saying, on the surface, there's a heck of a lot happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great adventure, a journey, a mystery, something of a cliffhanger in spots. But beneath that layer is the journey of a soul. It's the journey of a man to find out what it is to be a father in the fullness of the meaning of the word. He is shaken. He loses all his resources in his effort to find his missing son. But in the end, I don't want to give away the end of the story, but
mm-hmm.
in the end I can say at least that he finds himself, and he finds his true self, his deepest self, and resources within himself that he didn't know he had. So it's a journey of how courage overcomes fear, how radical insecurity leads us to greater trust if we don't run away from it.
Mm.
So that's just two of the layers of narrative within the book. There's more.
And to just give an idea of the character, the main character, of course, is Alex Graham, who is a middle-aged widower. And he's a Canadian bookseller,
mm-hmm.
which I just love. And his life is turned upside down because something goes missing. A love that he may not even have appreciated how tremendous it was disappears. And so he just, this ache in questing to relieve that pain, he goes looking. And of course, in that ache for love, ultimately, as I'm reading in the book, I mean, you come to see that God is love. And so in his quest to find that love, to find that son, he encounters love in the most extraordinary places, in Jesus himself. And as a Catholic, that appreciation of those encounters, I think we need to have literature that validates that and says this is worthy, those experiences are worthy.
Mm-hmm. The thing we so often forget, because we're all saturated in contemporary materialist culture largely, or even when religion is mentioned, it's often with a kind of simplistic way of showing it, or so often, even more often, especially in film, a way of degrading it, mocking it, twisting it. We tend to think that God is distant, even when we believe in him. We may have an intellectual or a rational belief in God, but in our hearts, something in us doesn't quite believe he's our Father. He's really, think, we feel he's really not going to be there for us. And that's especially so when our lives are struck by radical injustice or radical suffering. Mm-hmm. It puts everything to the test. So in my novels, I don't want to write, I never have wanted to write simplistic morality plays where everything is seen through rosy Christian glasses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to show that life is a struggle. It's what St. Paul calls the race. It's the war in the heavens that reaches all the way down to earth and affects every life, every human life. So life, at the same time, is inexpressibly beautiful. It's just, you just fall silent in awe before the mysterious beauty that just keeps coming and keeps coming. And we're often blind to it. We're blind to how God teaches us over time, through struggles, through joys, how he's helping us to expand, to understand, to see farther. But that's a process, you know. It's not a flick of a switch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to write fiction that tells a story that in some sense, reveals how the process happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, The Father's Tale is a pretty dramatic story of that. I believe it's in everyone's life. Everyone has a story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's very true. And I think that's that deeper reflection, that deeper prayer, that contemplation. So often, Michael, we read about it in the works of the saints, whether it's the Ascent of Mount Carmel by St. John of the Cross, or the Interior Castles, or by modern day writers on spirituality, whether it be a Benedict Groeschel or a Father Benedict Groeschel, or others who take us into that interiority. However, in your work, what's beautiful is that you're able to do it through literature, through the novel, and help us through this engagement with a character to practice the virtues. We may never be in the situations that Alex Graham finds himself in.
Let us hope not.
Yes, absolutely. But the fact is, you counter the emotion. It allows you to practice those virtues. And I think that's the best type of literature. You know, I think that's what it was so great about Lord of the Rings. I mean, that's in writings of, say, like Jane Austen or other great novelists. They allow us to practice those virtues.
Yes, and to grow in the virtues. Again, none of us are naturally holy, and it's grace working with nature that allows us to grow more and more in the direction of allowing Christ to live within us and ourselves within him, and to be fruitful in life, to give life to others. But that, again, that's a growth process. And the more we practice it, as you say, the practice of the virtues, the more we practice it, the more we are able to practice it.
We
take longer and longer steps like babies, and then we find if we don't give up, we're taking long strides.
You know, the interior suffering is something that we really do end up encountering as we deepen in our prayer life, because as we encounter him, there's a real call to die to a lot of the things that we love more than him.
Yes.
And so even though the physical suffering in itself can be really difficult, and it's a struggle, that's something the act of the will you just keep moving. But the interiority, that is what's real painful. And in reading this, you know, in some cases where Alex is going through some of that, for you to be able to write about it, you really are sharing a piece of your heart, aren't you?
Well, yes, to some degree. And people I know, a number of the things that occur in the story are stories or sub-stories that were told to me. I think it is the common experience, believe it is, of those who follow Christ wholeheartedly, that there's going to be the cross, exterior and interior. But what we so often forget is that he never leaves us abandoned in desolation. We may feel abandoned, but there's always consolation coming. There's always growth and blessing. God desires above all that we grow in faith, and we're just not going to grow as long as we have a safe, well-padded environment that prevents at all costs any kind of suffering. You know, and I'm sad to say that in the affluent West, we have for a few generations now put enormous amount of energy into precisely that, and it's just not reality. It's not where most of the human race lives, nor ever has lived. And I think now, if the world continues to move in the direction of destabilization and depression, economic depression, and social unrest as a result, we're going to see a lot more instability. We're going to see a lot more suffering. People are going to need to turn to what are the true human strengths. What are our real resources? Where do we find faith, hope, and love when our exterior securities begin to crumble? You know, what do we build upon? Are we building on rock, an eternal rock, or are we building on our investments? You know, nothing wrong with investments, but are they our life? Are they our salvation? And so I think God may be permitting the once Christian West to experience radical impoverishment, radical testing, so that we will turn away from the idol of mammon that we have worshipped too long and that is devouring countless souls, countless. This is another level of meaning in the novel, that as the central character, Alex, loses everything. He begins to find that there's a lot more going on in existence than he thought, you know, outside of his safe world. And some of it is frightening, some of it is magnificent, some of it is his first taste of being completely alive. So I think that is ahead of all of us if we stand firm in our hearts and ask God through Jesus for every particular grace that we need for the time of trial, which has already begun.
It is. Beautifully put. We're talking with Michael O'Brien about his novel, The Father's Tale. And this is one of those where I just want to emphasize there's so much here, and it is just a beautiful, exciting, compelling, provocative read. It's one of those where you just sit down and each night make sure you have your bookmark and just turn off that TV, have something quiet in the background if you need to have some music or something very soft, and just sit. And if it's a half hour a day, an hour a day, instead of, think about what you would have been watching on television for that hour. Instead, enter into this. You won't be disappointed. It's a tremendous journey. And Michael, what else are you working on? I can't wait.
I'm presently working, I hope you won't be shocked by this, I'm presently working on a science fiction novel.
Yay! Redeem the science fiction genre. Yay!
Yeah, well, it's quite a departure for me, but I'm having a tremendous amount of fun with it. It's still in process, so I can't say too much, but hopefully it's about a journey to our closest neighbor in the galaxy, Alpha Centauri, to a planet of Alpha Centauri that takes place just over 100 years from now in the near future. So I'll say no more about it.
I can't wait. Well, let's see. We've dealt with beautiful tome, that The Father's Tale. Just wonderful. You will not be disappointed if you pick up this book. Just enter it. It's not even about reading it. Just enter into the story and just let it take you. Michael, any final thoughts?
Gosh, many. Mm-hmm. But I suppose, in essence, what I'd like to say is that we have to stand firm and trust in God above all things. St. Faustina Kowalska once said, it's in her diaries someplace, when the times are darkest, that is precisely the moment when we must take greater confidence in God.
Mm.
God is our Father, and we must trust, we must learn to trust that He is very much our Father.
Mm. Beautiful. Michael O'Brien, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Chris.
With Michael O'Brien, we've gone inside the pages of The Father's Tale. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to Ignatius.com, the website for Ignatius Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.